Amen. Thank you. And appreciate you guys showing up today. And I want you to know that out there in the foyer, there's a little glass thing that Miss Penny fills up with peppermints. You have my permission to get two peppermints today for showing up today. So good job through the rain. We are working still through Psalm 23. Psalm 23, David speaking from his own experience and the inspiration of the Lord, writing, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." And here we are today. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." And we'll stop right there. The valley of the shadow of death. Of course, we're getting some insight from Philip Keller, a real shepherd too. And he said that when summertime comes, the shepherd is going to leave the base camp with his sheep, and he is going to lead them up into the high country, the high ground. They really want to get eventually work their way up through the summer and into the fall, up to above the tree line, so higher ground. And there's lots of pros, lots of good things, reasons, benefits of doing that, but there's also some cons. There's some difficulties. There's some trouble in working your way up to the higher ground. But it's the hireling, it's the shepherds that don't care about their sheep that leave them base camp during the summertime. And of course, all that grass is going to just be devastated. The sheep are going to have a terrible time, which we have talked about, all those kinds of issues if they're not moving around. It's very hot and during the summertime, and that's just another reason why to get up in the cooler country for the sheep. And so Philip would do this, and he spoke about the pros and the cons of doing this. And of course, this is a parallel for us as believers, since the metaphor is between shepherd and our Lord and us being like sheep. And so thinking about good things, benefits, it is the least amount, how would you want to say this, the least grade in the valley going up the mountain. So rather than have the steepest grade, it's the least. It's just the opposite, and that's what we want. We want the most shallow grade that we can get as we're working our way up the mountain. And to get to the mountain, to get to the higher ground, what do you have to go through? You have to go through valleys. And when we think about higher ground in the Christian life, we think, man, that's where I want to live. I wish I could just live there the whole time. And we kind of have this thought in our mind, I wish God could just helicopter me up there and drop me off. That would be a great deal. And then we wouldn't have to go through all this valley stuff. We wouldn't have to go through all this difficult time, the troubles and worries of this life. We could just get dropped off. Well, the summit is a unique place. Now, we think about mountain climbers too, and we think about like Mount Everest, which is the tallest mountain in the world. I think it's like 5 miles up, something like that. And it's amazing, you know, to climb that thing. Just to if you've watched any documentaries, and to know. But let me just ask you a question. If you have a mountain climber who's just dropped off by a helicopter, which you can't do, obviously, because the air is too thin, on the top of Mount Everest, and he's there at the summit, and then you have another guy who's a mountain climber, and he actually climbs his way up, I mean, he shears the cliffs. He is going through the sweat, the toil. He is working hard. He's taking all the risk, and he gets to the summit. Which one do you think is going to appreciate the top more? The one that just got dropped off, or the one that had to climb his way to get there? Well, it's the latter, isn't it? Well, I think in thinking about this particular verse in Psalm 23, that the thought might be something like this. Now, I'm just thinking this through with y'all, right? I'm just reading this stuff, and, you know, I never preached through Psalm 23, so I'm working through it. And my thought was, preparation comes before appreciation. Amen. Preparation comes before appreciation. See, because when you get to the summit, when you get to the higher ground, something interesting is going to happen. You're going to have a perspective that you could not have anywhere else. You're going to be able to see in a way that you could not see when you're in the valley. Because when you're in the valley, your view is going to be obstructed. Not only is it going to be obstructed by the sheer cliffs of the mountain, but it's going to be obstructed in the valley because of the way you're situated with the sunlight and the mountain. That's why David is speaking about the shadow. Valleys, as you're working your way up to the higher ground in mountains, are full of shadows. The sun doesn't shine in those valleys all the time. Now, the good news about valleys, the benefits about them, you have the least steepest grade. That's a good thing. And we need that for sheep, kind of help them out. We need to be gentle with them, all right? Also, you're going to have the richest grass to eat in those meadows, those mountain meadows. It's going to be the best they'll ever put their mouth to. Wonderful stuff. You're also going to have mountain streams with pure, clean water. And the sheep, since they're about 70% water, are going to need a lot of water in the summertime. And even when they're at base camp during the wintertime, then they can live off the dew. But when they get up there in the summertime, as they're working their way up, they're going to get hot. They're going to need a lot more water. And those mountain streams are going to provide the water that they need. So that's going to be a great benefit for them as well. But there's some problems. That darkness, when the sunlight, when the mountain obstructs the sunlight, that darkness is going to give cover to their enemies. See, they hadn't gotten above the tree line as they're working their way up. So you've got the trees, you've got the darkness going on, and so their enemies can hide from them. That means they got to really be on their toes. And the shepherd has to really know what he's doing. And in fact, this shepherd, he's already been in all these places. He's already gone. He's already found where all the poisonous plants are. He's overturned every rock. He knows where you could have a rock slide. He's watching out for these sheep. He's got an escape plan. He's got a plan B. I was just reading this morning about the folks that come back from the Olympics. Even if they win a medal, they come back, and many of them don't have another plan when they get back. And they're used to training all day, every day, and having somebody coach them, having somebody look over them, you know, every day, 24 hours a day, and they've got this routine, this schedule, and they've got this goal. And then they go to the Olympics, and some, very few of them get a medal, even a bronze medal, and most of them get nothing. And they come back, and nobody even knows their name. And they come back to, in our case, our country, and they go, what do I do now? No, there's no routine. There's no schedule. There's no coach looking for me. There's no goal in front of me to work for. And so they don't have a lot of plan B. And I was even reading where one particular individual, and this happens more than you think, he actually won a silver medal, but because he was so lost when he came back at 29 years of age, he took his life. And many of them get so depressed that if they don't take their life, they contemplate taking their lives. Well, The shepherd, he's already walked through all this area. He knows it all because he knows that in a moment's notice, a flash flood could come through there or a snow flurry. And the thing about sheep is they are thin-skinned. They're like Baptists. And boy, if they get cold, they can die in a hurry. You got to warm them up. Okay, so you've got all these difficulties and these problems, but nevertheless, even though their enemies can get in the dark, get behind the tree line, you've got these other things that can happen to them. They can get cold real quick. They can die. Can have a flash flood. They got the best eating right there in those mountain meadows. They got all this fresh water right there for them. And that shepherd is going to be close by because they're going to need to see him in order to not be afraid. They know that he's watching out for them. You know, David says, what does the verse say here again? Even though I walk through this valley, he said, I'm not going to fear evil. Why? He knows that the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd is right there with him all the way, all the way. Now, we don't particularly like valleys, do we? We just like to have our life be one big mountaintop experience. But you wouldn't appreciate the mountaintop if there weren't any preparation. Now, when I think about a valley and I think about preparation and then I think about appreciation, I went back to the Old Testament and I began to think about a guy by the name of David who wrote this psalm. He knows about sheep. He knows about shepherds. He also knows about valleys. He also knows about dark valleys. And he also knows about evil. And he also knows about fear. And really, the time that really spoke to me more than anything that stands out when you think about all that is 1 Samuel chapter 17. Remember that? David, prior to this time, God had sent Samuel to anoint him as king because he had rejected Saul. So he went over to his daddy's house and Dad said, Samuel said, I need all your kids to show up here in the living room. So he went this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy. And he went, where, is this all of them? No, David's not here. Where is David? Well, where was he? He was out tending the sheep. It was probably in the summertime or in the autumn, in the fall, and he had taken the sheep and gone up to higher ground. That was his job. So he knew all about this kind of stuff. Well, a little time goes by, and Israelites are fighting the Philistines all the time, and his brothers are gone fighting, and his dad tells him, he said, I want you to go and find out how your brothers are doing, and bring word to me about news about, you know, how the battle's going, about the warfare, and take them some food, you know, take them, a goodie bag. So David shows up, and his older brother, he's asking about what's going on. His older brother just chastises him for coming, judges him, and he didn't know all the facts. His brother didn't. And he said all these things, and David just didn't listen to him. And while he was talking to his brother, he overheard Goliath down there in the valley. Now, we got a picture for you of that valley, and I got it right here. In fact, it's right there. There's that valley, okay? And remember, Alice and I were, this picture got smaller on us. Okay, there we go. Okay, here's a road right here. this is in Gath. And we got on this road, got out of our bus, and we just kind of walked right out here and picked up some rocks so we could just kind of get the feel of the place, you know, some stones. And but this is the valley right in here, right in this area where David fought Goliath. And right here is where the Israelites, where they camped out on this little hill. And the Philistines were right over here on top of this hill right here. So Goliath would make his way down probably to somewhere across this little valley right here. And it's not very far. And he'd come over here, and that's where he was taunting Israel, just to give you kind of a little picture. And remember, David's going to meet Goliath there with his slingshot. So David hears Goliath doing his deal, taunting Israel, and he says, "Who is this guy?" And David was like, "Man, he is coming against God." Well, when all of Israel, all the rest of the fighting men, including his brothers, when they heard Goliath, what emotion were they feeling? Fear. Boy, it was a dark valley for them. They were afraid. David wasn't afraid. So they brought him to King Saul, and he told King Saul, I can go take this guy. I can take him down. And Saul said, "Man, you're just a kid. You can't do that." He said, "You're not even big enough to wear my armor." And they put Saul's armor on him, and it was like, you know, putting a three-year-old in a knight's armor or something. It wasn't going to work. So they took all, he said, "I don't need all that stuff anyway." And he said, "I can go do this deal because the Lord God is with me." And then he said something else to Saul. This is that preparation thing. He said, "King Saul, I've already taken down the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear." When did he do that? When he was a shepherd. You see, his first number one job was to take care of the sheep. And when the bear came, he's going to get in front of the sheep and take out the bear. When the lion came, he's going to stand in between the lion and the sheep, and he did that very thing. And y'all wonder who sent the lion. I wonder who sent the bear. I have a pretty good idea it was the Lord. Why? To prepare David for a bigger day, for a bigger valley, for a darker valley. He would have never been ready for Goliath if God hadn't already sent David exactly what he needed to get ready. And so when David saw Goliath, since he'd already faced the bear, by the way, I had a picture of a bear. You got one of those too, right there. There. That's a bear. Now, I don't know what kind of bear they had over there back then. You know, they didn't have grizzly bears. But really, does it matter? A bear is a bear. And he took it down. This is what he said. This is scripture. And so when he saw Goliath, "I've already faced that guy. He ain't nothing. Let me at him." So, but we think when we're going through the valleys, we don't like them. We want to avoid them. Things happen to us and we become afraid. What should we be afraid of? 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 and 18 says that God has perfected our hearts in his love. And perfect love casteth out fear. He is perfect love. We know that he is with us. And we know we can face anything. But our faith needs to be strengthened. We need some preparation. You see, because God just doesn't want you to, he didn't want to just get you to higher ground. He wants you to appreciate it when you get there. He wants it to mean something to you. So, for example, have you ever tried to help somebody to go through something that you haven't been through? Kind of tough to do. Now, God calls upon us to do that sometimes because we haven't been through everything that everybody's ever been through. But we might have been through some similar things or something that might parallel their life, or we might have gone through something they really went through and said, "Hey, I've already walked in your moccasins, you know. So I can appreciate what you're feeling, what you're going through, because I felt those feelings, because I've been there, okay?" Here's what a lot of people do, a lot of Christians do. when they go through valleys and they go through troubles and difficulties and losses and hurts and pains and questions that are not answered, they bellyache, start whining, crying, moaning, complaining. Jeremiah was one of those people. Jeremiah? Man, that was one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament. That guy had incredible faith. Man, he was incredible. And the things that God ordered for his life were just like, wow, man. We've never even been through 1,000th of what Jeremiah had to go through. But you know what he did? He wrote the book of Lamentations. Do you know what it means to lament something? It means to whine. You know what it means in Hebrew? The book of whining. That's what he was doing. He was whining, crying, moaning, complaining. In fact, in Lamentations chapter 3, for 20 verses, he whined to God. Cried. I can't believe you're doing this to me, God. It's like you're filling my mouth with gravel. It's like you're on high with your bow pulled back and you're shooting your arrows right for me. Was God doing that to him? No, but he felt that way because he had to go through a lot of stuff. He felt like God had a big bullseye on his back and he was the target. He didn't know. He didn't understand that God had a purpose, a great purpose in his life. So he whined for 20 verses. But thank the Lord, on the 21st verse, he started to see the light. He says, but wait a minute. I remember. If it weren't for God's mercy, I'd be consumed by the fire. You know what he's saying? If I'm breathing, there's nothing to whine about. Nothing to whine about. But oh, listen. If it had been you and me going through what he went through, it wouldn't have been 20 verses. It would have been like 20 chapters. Okay? So he really did pretty good. So we don't want to knock him too hard. But why would God allow him to go through all that stuff? Or why would God let Joseph go through all that stuff? Why would God let David have to face a bear and a lion? Why would he let you have to go through the trouble that you're going through? Because he wants you to really appreciate the summit, man. That higher ground. Now I'm telling you, the richest grass you'll ever eat is right there in the mountain meadows of the valleys. You see, because that's where the rubber meets the road. That's your opportunity for faith. That's your opportunity in the midst of trouble when the boat is rocking and rolling in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. Say, man, our whole boat's full of water. It's fixing to go down, but praise the Lord. That's the richest stuff you'll ever eat. It's the best water you'll ever drink because that's where you meet the Lord face to face. What was it Job said? He said, all before the trouble, I knew you. He said, but after the trouble, I see you face to face. See? You see, we need more Christians when they're in the valley time to be strong. You see, because there's strong sheep and there's weak sheep. We need stronger sheep so they can help the weaker sheep. You know, the weaker sheep, they're the ones that are still whining down here, still crying. Oh, God, how can you do this to me? God's saying, I'm loving on you. I'm helping you. I'm preparing you. It's preparation before appreciation. Now, I was reading another book. This book's called The Way of the Shepherd, and a guy by the name of Bill Pintack is the person in the story with his professor. He's getting his MBA at the University of Texas. And it's a long time ago. About to finish school. He'd already landed a great job. And he found out in the job that he got hired for that he was going to have to manage 9 people. So he went to his professor that he really liked. And he said, "Dr. So-and-so," he said, "you got to help me." He said, "All I've done is school. I've worked hard, making good grades and all that. I got this great job. They just told me I'm going to have to manage 9 people. I've never managed anybody. Help! Will you help me?" So the professor said, "All right, you give me every Saturday to the end of the semester, keep up all your grades, I'll help you. I'll pick you up 8 o'clock this Saturday." So he picks him up, drives him out into the, you know, they're living in Austin, right? So they drive out somewhere in the country. And they get into, he takes him out here to the pen. He says, "Okay, I want you to count how many sheep are out here." So, okay. So he said, 42. He said, "Good, I counted 42, it's 42. So then he took his guy, and he took Bill, and they had to inspect every sheep. And he said, "Boy, they stunk, and they smell bad." And it's like, "Wow, man." So then he said, "Come on back, I'll break your breakfast." Made him breakfast, and he said, "Great, let's go on back. You've already had your first lesson." He said, "What? All we did was go out there and inspect sheep." So he talked to him. So he's talking to him about sheep. He didn't know his professor grew up as a shepherd. And he had his own fold now and sheep. And so he was going to teach him these lessons about managing people by being a shepherd. The metaphor, same metaphor. So works his way through the book, and I'm reading through it and everything. So I get to this part where on this particular Saturday, he takes him out to the fold. And he gives him this this clip, this stamp, and it has a deal that you put in it with a yellow tag. And he says, "I want you to take one of those sheep, and I want you to take his ear, and I want you to clamp that tag on his ear." He's like, "Man, this is gonna hurt. God, I want to do." So he just kind of took his ear and he went like that. And the sheep kind of, you know, he didn't yell out or anything. He just kind of, you know, leaned back. You could tell it hurt. He could tell it hurt. So he just made him do one of those. That's all they could stomach. So they went back and made him breakfast again. He said, how'd you like your work today as a manager of the sheep?" So I didn't like it at all. "Why didn't you like it?" He said, "Because it created pain for that sheep. I know it hurt him. I didn't want to hurt him." He said, "You know, if you're going to manage people," he said, "you're going to have to learn how to inflict pain." He said, "Because you're going to have to make decisions that sometimes are in the best interest of the people that you're managing, but it causes them pain. And you can't avoid making the decision that's in their best interest, not only for them, but for the company, because you want to avoid pain." He said, "Now, what you were doing with that sheep in inflicting that pain is you were tagging them. And in tagging them, you were identifying that sheep with its owner. You see, I'm the owner. That tag has my name on it." There's a scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. Let's read it. This is where we get to appreciation. Preparation for appreciation. "But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." Hebrews 5:8 says that he learned obedience through suffering. His image. God is transforming you into his image. Well, what was the life of Jesus like when he lived here on this earth? You're still on earth. Did he go through any valleys? Did he go through any dark shadows? Was there any preparation in his life? You see, when we get baptized, we are identifying with the Savior through his death, burial, and resurrection. In sanctification, we identify with him when we suffer with him. You see, that's his mark. And you see, when you gladly receive the preparation, when he sends the lion and when he sends the bear to your life, and you gladly receive that because you know God has a bigger purpose behind that. Oh man, you know what you're saying to the church? When you're not complaining, when you're praising the Lord, you know what you're saying? You're glorifying God. You're saying, hey, I'm one of his. I'm becoming more like him. And you're glorifying the Lord. And you're helping your brother. You're helping your sister. Now, this is what the Lord wants to do in our lives in the valley. To get us to higher ground. When we get to higher ground, we're going to see like we've never seen before. You're going to have a brand new perspective. You're going to appreciate the valleys, the summit so much more because of the valleys that you've gone through. And of course, in this life, the Lord just moves us to higher ground. There'll come a day when he'll move you to the highest ground. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word again this morning. We're glad we came. It's such a blessing to hear your word, to be encouraged and to receive help, to think about these men and women who went before us. What a life that glorified you in the life of Jeremiah. We appreciate him so much more, knowing what he went through and knowing that he wasn't perfect as he was going through it. Maybe there's somebody here today as we're praying about our own lives, maybe about the valley that we're going through right now. Lord, take the complaint right out of my mouth, trusting you to tame my tongue. Make me one of the stronger sheep so I can help the weaker sheep, so that I can identify, have the experience of identifying with the Lord in the valley, and it's going to make me appreciate the summit so much more. I know I'll be able to see things up there that I can't see below. So I need to trust you as the good shepherd, as you're walking me through the dark shadows of the valley.